I said, hi everyone, it's good to be back after a short break last week in lovely Hyderabad, and it's good to see you all this morning. All right, can you hear me clearly? Everything good? All right. Okay, now, some of you may have seen this movie, Finding Nemo. All right, anybody seen that? Finding Nemo. All right, let me just, why am I getting this message? Okay, so if you remember that story about Nemo, it was about this fish that gets captured and taken away, and then the father is out to rescue that fish, Marlin, and he goes through the oceans trying to find the fish. And there's another character in that movie called Dory. Anybody remember her? Okay, this Dory is this fish who, and the problem with her is she keeps forgetting what everything is all about. She's got this short-term memory loss. And so she joins Marlin, the father, on the mission to rescue Nemo. And along the way, and she has seen where the boat that captured Nemo went. And along the way, as she's going there, she forgets who she is, what she's done. And she turns to the father, hey, why are you following me? What's wrong with you? and that's what happens. And so the mission is to rescue Nemo, the son, all right? And I think Christians like us can be like Dory sometimes. Okay, we can get so caught up with what happens with our jobs, with our health, with, you know, the vaccination we need to take, and our job, and our family, and other challenges, that we can forget the mission, you know, and say, hey, what am I doing? What's happening here? And that can happen. Whereas we can forget that we've been called, like Dory, to rescue sons. Yeah? And to remind us that, hey, God's purpose and plan for us is similar. You know, just as Marlin's son had been captured, you know, and taken captive, we also are called to fulfill the mission of rescuing men and women who've been taken captive. And every once in a while, we need to be reminded and say, hey, don't get caught up with the things of this world, with the troubles of the world and challenges of the world. These are all very real and very there. But to remind us that there is a mission. That's what we are going forward to. All right? And so this morning, we're going to look at a familiar passage, and we're going to look at and remind ourselves about the great salvation we've received. And what is the plan? You know, we've taken a break from all the meetings as for the last 6 weeks, and now we're getting back, you know, into saying, hey, God, we're ready for what you have for us. And we need to remind ourselves of what God has done for us before we can move on to doing something for God. Okay, so let's look at a familiar verse this morning in 2 Peter 3:18, where Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, when we came to faith, we had a little bit idea about salvation. Maybe there are some people who've come to faith recently, and your idea about salvation is, yeah, I was a sinner. My sins are forgiven because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Amen. Wonderful. And then that's great, and that's true, and we rejoice in that. But there is more. And there is more in that we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to look at six aspects of salvation that will stir us on towards doing what God has called us to do. Six aspects of salvation. Okay, so let's look at that together this morning. Okay, so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And before we get into that, we're going to, we'll just read it. I'll read that when we're going to look at verses 1 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. In which you used to live, and you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great salvation. We are sitting here this morning in front of the screen because one day in the past, you drew us to yourself. Lord, as we come to your word this morning, may your grace, your anointing be upon us, Lord. Speak to us through your word. Pray for your anointing upon me, that you would help me to proclaim the truth of the gospel with great power. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so we're going to look at six aspects of our salvation from Ephesians chapter 2. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul outlines God's master plan of salvation. Okay, in chapter 1, he talks about the great salvation. He says, you know, in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then he tells us, he says, verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. That's when we were chosen. Why? To be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. So God chose us before the creation of the world. He brought us to be holy and blameless, and he brought us to be into his family. We were adopted as sons. Wow. To the praise of his glorious grace. And this, the whole master plan of salvation is there. But we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2 now to see this broken down and see how that God's master plan deals with our past, it deals with our present, it deals with the future. Okay? So let's look at that. So the first thing we want to look at is this. Verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. Okay, so the first thing is that we were saved from our sins. We were saved from our sins, number one. And what was our situation when we were saved? The Bible doesn't sugarcoat anything. You know, it says, you were dead. That's it. Now, it can't get worse than that. If you go to the hospital to visit a friend, and maybe he has got a cold, maybe he's got a headache, maybe he's got malaria, maybe he's got cancer, you can go with hope. You may take some grapes for him, some fruits, some flowers for him or for her, and you go and meet them, and there is hope that one day they will come out of that hospital. But if somebody is dead, there is, you know, physically dead, there is no hope for that person to recover. They're dead. And so the Bible does not sugarcoat our condition. It says we were dead, not just weak, not just, you know, sinning a bit. We were dead. And that was our past. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, that was your past. You are no more dead. We'll come to that in the next point. But if you are not yet a follower of Jesus, that is your present condition. The Bible says you are dead. You see, man's problem in the world is not, the problem of sin is not a lack of education. In the past, philosophers and politicians used to think if we educate the public, then the rate of crime will come down. But let me tell you, you know, education does not put an end to crooks. It just makes them smarter and bigger crooks. You know, 50 years ago, somebody would break into a house and steal some jewelry worth a few thousands of rupees. Today, we've got people who have defrauded banks of $1 billion. Wow, and more. It's not because they were uneducated, it's because they were educated and they were able to, you know, scam the system. Okay, but What exactly does it mean that we were dead to sin? And we quickly look at these things. And these are familiar things, but just for us to remind ourselves of this is what we were in the past. Okay? So Ephesians 4:18 says this. It says that they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So Ephesians 4:18 says that, you know, we cannot, it's not just that we will not respond to God, but we cannot respond to God. Okay, our understanding is hardened. We can't understand the things of God. Romans 8:7 says this. It says that the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So Ephesians 4:18 and Romans 8:7 tell us this, is that in our, before Christ, you know, before Christ came into our lives, we were separated from God. We couldn't even respond to God, even if we wanted to. All right, that's what we were. Going on to Ephesians 2 verse 3, it says, we were by nature, by like the rest, we were objects of wrath. This is one of the most devastating verses in the Bible. Objects of wrath meant for destruction. That means one day when God judges the world, those who are objects of wrath will be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. That is a very serious condition. So it's good for us to remind ourselves of our beginnings. That is what we were one day. Okay? And Romans 3:23, another familiar verse, tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And, you know, that's a picture of a person aiming for a target and missing the target. That's what it means, fall short of the glory of God. So sin is not just doing something bad. It means we are falling short of the target. And the target is the glory of God. Now remember this. We'll come to it later. Okay? So sin is not just doing something bad. You know, we can even do good things and still fall short of the glory of God. Okay? So our problem was not that we do bad things, which we do, but we were incapable of living according to God's standards. Okay? And we don't have time to get into everything. But, you know, in Luke chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. So what Jesus is saying is, hey, doing good doesn't make you a good person. You're a sinner and you still can do good. In Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus says this about fathers who give good gifts to their children. He says, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, it's good to give gifts to our children, but giving gifts doesn't make us good. Jesus calls people who have given good gifts to the children, he says, apart from me, you are evil. So we were helpless and we are hopeless. Now, if there's anybody listening this morning and you have not yet put your faith in Jesus, this is your state. And my prayer to you this morning is that you would respond to the offer of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins that Jesus offers. Okay. Now, thankfully, Ephesians 2 does not stop at verse 3, but it goes on to verse 4, which says this, and there's an amazing but there. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. Wow. Now, let's look at that. So this is what God did. Yeah. We were sinners, destined for destruction, but God saved us by his great love. Now we need to just soak that in. You are sitting here this morning because of God's great love to you. And because of his great love for us, two things. One, he's rich in mercy. And I think, you know, there are degrees of love. There's mercy is one level and grace and love is another level. Okay? So mercy is not getting what we deserve. Yeah? That means, say a thief comes in, let's say who's here? Let's say Manish. So a thief breaks into Manish's house and steals his television, his cell phone, you know, his money, his wallet, his credit cards, And just as he is walking out of the house, he makes a sound and Manish gets up and catches him. Okay? Manish has every right to take him and put him into and turn him into the police. And the thief will be punished. But Manish decides to forgive him and not press charges. That's mercy. Okay? So having our sins forgiven is mercy. But grace is if Manish says, listens to the guy and realizes, you know, he's got no family, he's hungry, he, you know, and he says, okay, Manish says, you know what, why don't you come and stay with us? Manish, come stay in my house, we've got an extra room, you know, and he says, yeah, here's the TV, you can watch the TV, here are the keys to my car, here are my credit cards, you can go and buy something. Now, wouldn't that be amazing? And not only that, he says, you know what, I've got two children, another one is on the way, but I don't mind getting a fourth one in the family and I adopt you as my son. You know, that is grace. You know, it's unthinkable. Nobody on earth would do something like that. But God has done it for us. Right? Mercy is he's forgiven us our sins. Grace is he's not just forgiven us, he's given us. The Ephesians 1 says he has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Not just given us blessings, but he says, I'm going to make you part of my family. Wow. Now let that sink in. Soak that in. Wow. I'm not just a forgiven sinner. I'm now a blessed son forever and ever. Okay? So that's God's great love for us. All right, let's go on. Now, we looked at verse 1. It said that, you know, we were dead in our sins. What does a dead man need the most? Some people say, well, he needs a coffin. But really what he needs is life. And Ephesians 2 verse 5 says this. But God, who is because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, made us alive. Wow, that's what God gave us. He gave us life. So salvation gives us life. We were dead, we were alive. Now, how do we know we were alive? We are alive. It's because this. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So without the Spirit of God giving us life, the things of God become foolishness to us. You know, prayer, Bible study, gathering on a Sunday or a gym for a meeting, you know, or weekly, or gathering for prayer, or fellowshipping with believers, it becomes meaningless and there's no desire for these things. Okay? You know, it's like if you take, you know, some grass and feed it to a cat. The cat has no interest in the grass. It's meaningless. But you feed the same thing to another, to an animal, like a cow or a goat. They will eat the grass. See the difference? And that's the same with us. If we are not made alive by Christ, then the things of God are meaningless to us. We have no interest in them. There's no desire. But when the Spirit of God comes upon us, we love God's word. We love his people. We have a desire to live holy lives. We desire to say, Lord, how can I live to please you? And because we are adopted in the family, we want to be with God's people. We want to forge relationships. We want to do those things. We want to live lives to please God. All right. So we were dead in our sins. So God saved us, number one. God, number two, we were saved by love. Number three, he saved by love, giving us life. Number four, we are saved with purpose. We need to remember that. Look at this. In verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Wow! God has a plan and a purpose. And that plan and purpose is to demonstrate his great kindness to us. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Okay. So number one is he has seated us in the heavenly realm. So we are seated with him. And his desire is that now and forever, he wants to show us the incomparable riches of his grace. The mind cannot conceive. The eye is not seen. The ear is not heard. The mind cannot conceive what God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow. Now, we need to think about that. God desires to show His kindness to you. Isn't that amazing? He wants to shower His blessings upon you and upon me. And we need to believe and we need to declare and we need to confess God's word. So in whatever situation or difficulty you're facing, say, Lord, I want to see your kindness as promised in this situation. Lord, show me your incomparable riches. And these incomparable riches start now, but go on forever into eternity. Okay? And that's what it is. So, when we come to God, you know, we need to come to God with that mindset that God is not there to judge us or to punish us. Okay? He wants to express His incomparable riches of His grace to us. Wow. Amazing. I remember, and some of us may respond to God as a strict principle. You know, we think we have this figure in our mind of maybe a father who was strict with us, or a principal, or a boss. And when we come to this authority figure in God, we can come with that fear. Yeah. And so what we want to realize is that, hey, God loves you. Okay, he wants to bless you. He wants to be kind to you. Yes, He will discipline us when we go astray, but that's also in love. Okay? And that's what it is. So let's draw on God's kindness. And then the fifth thing is this. He says, we are saved by faith. Okay. Not only are we saved with purpose, where God wants to express His incomparable riches of His grace and kindness to us, but we are saved by faith. Ephesians 2:8 says that, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay? We don't have to climb a high mountain, go into a river, or do anything to receive this great salvation. All we've got to do is believe. You know, you remember the thief on the cross. There he was, nailed to the cross, hand and feet, in pain and dying. He did not attend a church meeting. He didn't get baptized. He didn't give his tithes and offerings. Nothing. All he could do was confess with his mouth. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He acknowledged that Jesus was Lord. And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Wow, amazing words. So if there's anybody here this morning who has not yet put their faith in Jesus, you too can receive that same assurance that that thief on the cross has received and most of us have received by saying, Jesus, I trust in you, Lord. You are the only God. There is none other. I am dead in my sins, but I believe in you. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay. Oh, that's all you've got to do. Say, Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead. Come into my life. Forgive me. You know? Now, most of us are going to live longer than the thief on the cross. Okay? And so those of us who are alive, you know, after trusting Jesus, of course, repenting, there are other things we need to do. We need to be baptized. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be part of a church. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to serve Him. We need to do other things. Okay, and we look at what these things are for. So what are we saved for? And the sixth thing that we see in this passage is we are saved for good works. Okay. Ephesians 2:10, wonderful words. This is this. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so here's what we need to remind ourselves. We were sinners, but God, because of His great love for us, saved us. Not just saved us, He made us alive. Not just made us alive, but He purposed His love upon us to express kindness and goodness to us from now, from here on to eternity. We're saved through faith. There's nothing we had to do, just believe. And now We need to remind ourselves of this. Hey, God has a purpose for my life. Okay, God has a purpose for my life. So it says, we are God's workmanship. The Greek word there is poema, which from where we get our word poem. Or we look at it as masterpiece. Now, you know, if you're on our Instagram or Facebook, or whatever, you'll see Navaz doing all these paintings, lovely, beautiful things. Or you'll see Hazel doing her cooking creations and putting pictures of that. Or, you know, and they're displaying what all they can do. They're masterpieces. And God is saying, you know, you want to see my masterpieces? All right, look at Abhishek. Look at Bindya. Look at Esther. And look at Rachel. Look at Meher. Wow, that's who we are. Put your name there. You are God's masterpiece. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. You know, if God was on Instagram, he'd be posting your photo there and say, see my masterpiece. You know, all right. Now, we are God's masterpiece, but what is our purpose? Because we'll only be fulfilled if we fulfill our purpose. And the purpose is this: for we are God's masterpiece or workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Our focus is to be on the good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. All right? So it's not just saying, hey, I'm God's masterpiece, but it's saying, God, I'm your masterpiece and you've uniquely fashioned me because you've got a purpose for my life. And so you've got to say, Lord, what's the purpose? Okay, now, you remember, so there are good works for us to do. Now, you remember Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. That's the condition of the human race. Any good they do, no matter how much charity anybody does, no matter what good work they do, apart from Christ, all that is done is filthy rags. It falls short of the glory of God. But when we are in Christ Jesus, and when we do the good works God has called us to do, this is what happens. John 15 verse 8 says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So you see that? Now, in Christ, when we do good works, we bring glory to God. We don't fall short of the glory of God, but we glorify God. So you see Romans 3:23 connecting here with John 15 verse 8. Okay? So when you do good works right now, you are bringing the Father glory. That's your responsibility. Now, what kind of works are we talking about? What is the fruit that John is talking about? Okay? Now, we look at one. One is Matthew 28, 18 to 20, which you should all know. Go and make disciples of all nations. So our primary aim is this thing. Hey, I need to proclaim the gospel. Evangelism. Training. Sharing our testimonies. Reaching out to the lost. That's got to be our prime focus. So remember Dori, she forgot. What was it all about? She doesn't remember anything. So if you have forgotten, I'm reminding you this morning. Yeah? God has hand upon you. He's handpicked you before the creation of the world. He's placed you here in word of grace. There's a purpose for your life, and that purpose is to bear fruit. The fruit, we look at it. One of the fruits that you got to bear is souls being saved. Okay? Now, I tell you, you know, we can't cause anybody to become born again. That is in God's hands. But what we can do is we can share our testimony, we can love people, we can pray for them, we can invite them for Sunday meetings or church meetings or evangelistic meetings, we can share the gospel with them, but it is God who has to touch their hearts. You know, and you know what? When we share the gospel, we already get our reward, whether they come to faith or not. Isn't that amazing? Because coming to faith is God's work, not our work. So let's remember. And so as a church, I want to be, you know, let's be focused. Now we've begun a new season. Let's be focused on seeing the lost saved. The other day I was speaking to a pastor and we were chatting in another context. And he's from another stream of churches. And he said, you know, he started his church 15 years ago. There were 20 people. He says, and today they've reached 500 people. Wow, isn't that amazing? You know, we want to be fruitful as well. And it will happen as each one of us takes this call seriously and says, God, I don't know how much longer I have on earth. Okay. 1 million people died in India last year because of COVID. All right. Huge number. Think. Is that right? I know in America, definitely that many died this way. But millions have died across the world because of COVID. You are alive because, not because you've got good genes or because, you know, you took care of yourself. It's the grace and mercy of God. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. Okay? And he's got good works prepared in advance for you to do. So that's what it is. So one of the things we'll be doing is there is something called a Facebook evangelism thing, where online, because we can't meet people today, but online, people who show an interest in Christ can be spoken to and the gospel can be shared. And so I would encourage you to get in touch with me and say, hey, I'd like to do it, you know, where somebody gives me a name and I reach out and follow. Okay, so that's one of the things. Secondly, in Matthew 25, verse 35, Jesus talks about rewarding people who have done something. Matthew 25, verse 35, very familiar passage. And he says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. So when we do these things, we feed the hungry and we clothe those who need clothes and invite strangers in, when we visit those in prison, you know, meeting any need in the church and outside the church, we are bearing fruit. The Father is glorified. Okay? So those of you who are giving towards JOG, the joy of giving, you know, and as we are reaching, meeting needs of people in families, you know, who are affected economically because of COVID. Wow. We are doing that. We're doing that. And I thank you for that. You know, and let's continue to do that more. But let's do it personally as well. You know, look into the church and see if there are needs and see if we can help somebody in any way, you know, materially or other ways. And God says that, hey, you know, he says, you will receive a reward. Okay? You will receive a reward. You will receive. Take your Matthew 25, verse 34 says this. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Wow. For giving some food to somebody, I'm getting a kingdom. Isn't that amazing? It's a great, great transaction. Wow. You know, and it's available to all of us. Okay. And so, to wind up, God has saved us. Let's remind ourselves of this. Okay, forget about whatever challenge you're facing right now. Remind yourself, I was dead, but I was handpicked from the billions of people on this earth to be made alive because of God's great love for me. Okay, I've been seated with Christ Jesus so that God will express his kindness to me. Wow, I can expect kindness. And he saved me by faith. And now he's got good works planned for me. I'm his workmanship. He's unique, unique creation. Okay? And how can we move forward? Okay, this is what we need to do. You know, we're saying, hey, one of the ways we move forward is by building relationships within the church. Okay? I was so blessed. I spoke to Meher yesterday and she said, I've been in touch with this person and that person and this person and that person and this person and that person. Wonderful. So, you know, it's so sad we can't meet in person. Not yet. It'll happen soon. You know, I'd love to visit some of you or you visit us and we have a meal together and just be together. But till then, we're going to restrict it to on the phone or through Zoom. But let's do that. At least we have that. Imagine if we didn't even have that. Okay? So let's build strong relationships together. Okay? Spending time with people. Let's follow through in unity in everything we as a church are doing. You know, if you say, I belong to Word of Grace Church, this team, then, you know, when there's prayer, call for prayer, come for prayer. When there's gym, come for gym. Whatever is happening. You know, yesterday we had an amazing Regions Beyond prayer meeting. Okay? And it was great to see people from so many nations of the world gather together. Okay, don't miss these joint meetings because, you know, You and I are insignificant. We're just one person. With Word of Grace, we're a few more. But together, as part of a family of church, regions beyond, okay, we can do so much more. It was an amazing meeting where we saw work happening in Bhutan and Nepal and Pakistan and South Africa and India. You know, amazing. We had Nigel and Donald who shared, and they said, just two of them being faithful, part of regions beyond, looking after 1,100 people in UP. Isn't that amazing? Wow, that's great. And we are part of that. So let's get caught in to what's happening, you know, and say, hey, regions beyond, we're part of the, God has placed us in this bigger family, you know, and let's be part of it. Let's be there whenever there's a, you know, the prayer meeting is called. Well, I saw Bindia there. It was great to see her and a couple of others. So it's great. You know, let's be part of these things and see what God is doing, because God has a plan for your life. All right. And so give yourself to serving the church, to building relationships, reaching the lost. And that's what God. And when we do that, the Father is glorified. That's what it is. You see, you and I were saved from sin, not just to save us from hell, but to bring glory to the Father. That is your purpose. So remember, like Dori, she had to be reminded, hey, this is what we are up to. We're going to rescue the Son. And so here we are. I'm reminding you this morning. Yeah, we're here to rescue men and women from the wrath of God, from hell. We can't do it on our own. We've got to do it together as a church and together as a family of churches. One day, God is going to reward us. And even today, He's going to pour out His kindness upon us. Okay? You are His masterpiece. Let's do it together. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your great salvation, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You saved us. We were dead. You made us alive, Lord. You just didn't have mercy on us. You poured out Your love upon us. Lord, You've planned great things for us, incomparable riches, Your kindness expressed throughout eternity towards us, Your great inheritance and a kingdom. That's what we are looking forward to. Lord, we are Your unique creations, workmanship. Lord, and You have prepared good works for us too, Lord. I pray for each one of us at Word of Grace, we would embrace this, Lord, that we would make every effort to build relationships with one another and to work towards bringing glory to You, because that's our purpose on earth, Lord. Help us to do that as a church and to see Jesus at work in our lives and the Father glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.